Hello and welcome back to another episode of Beyond Packaging, where we explore everything packaging, products, and in between. I'm Laura Fodi.
And I'm still here, your co-host.
Well, you're here. I was the one who was sick.
Yeah.
We were supposed to do some live recordings at Pack Expo. I had COVID. Unfortunately, I missed everyone. Now I'm back. I'm back. A little bit of seasonal cold, but man, it's going around.
Yeah, it is. No, everybody's fighting something. So glad to have you back.
Good to be here. We've got some really interesting news updates here. The first, which I'm excited for your opinion on, Matthew, is from The Guardian. It's 3p on a pack of sausages. UK food firms say packaging tax adds to inflation. So I was waiting for this moment to arrive when extended producer responsibility was first rolling out. You and I talked about how this cost is going to get passed on to consumers. The UK, they're starting to see that. So with extended producer responsibility, it's pushing costs up, and many of those costs are being passed on to consumer, especially smaller and medium-sized food firms are feeling the pressure. For example, one manufacturer paid £153,000 this year and felt it had no choice to increase prices. So, Matthew, are you surprised to see EPR now trickling into consumer pockets?
No, I mean, listen, it's for whatever reason, you know, it'd be interesting to study the history of food prices, but by and large, it's a very tight margin business. And so, you know, while it may seem like a small figure, you know, to somebody, it's a company, that money directly comes out of the bottom line. And the reality is that bottom line is used for innovation. It's used to acquire other companies, to do, you know, run businesses, to replace machinery. It's a very capital intense business. So I know a lot of people don't really understand this, but there's just not a lot of cash sitting around. So if there's a new bucket, which there is, that bucket has to be filled, and it's going to be filled by higher prices of product probably.
Yeah. I mean, wow. What a time to be alive as a packaging professional, because you're dealing with tariffs, potentially you're dealing with inflation in general, which is impacting commodity prices. And now you're dealing with kind of these new taxes. I mean, £153,000, that's actually on the low end of what we've heard from folks. Yeah. I mean, we're talking to people who are talking millions of dollars. And so, you know, we preach about this, but it all starts with, are you paying the right amount of taxes? Do you have your packaging data? Are you developing a system to keep that data updated and make sure you are accurately reporting? Because to your point, Matthew, we've talked to folks who know that they're overpaying.
Yeah. And what's interesting, I've already heard this, one company that has found out they're overpaying, you know, it's coming back to them in form of a future credit. I mean, they're not sending the money back. So, you know, to that point, yeah, they'll get it back, but that's a delayed process and certainly can't wait for that. So again, you're going to see, I think, at least short term price on pressure price on product. You know, long term, you know, who knows? I hope that this allows for a new thought process of how to package products, how to get them to market, maybe more cost effectively, that will help with this. But short term, when I say short term, a year, I think there's no doubt we're going to fill it at our prices that we pay for product.
Yeah. And I just don't think it's going away. You know, I always come back to, why are these taxes in place? It's really to boost, you know, a lot of domestic recycling efforts. It's really to update infrastructure that's been ignored for so long. At least that's how it's being presented in the US. So I think companies really have to learn to live with this. And they, to your point, they've got to get creative. And it starts with, are you paying the right number?
Yeah. And listen, there's a whole piece about how it's good for the earth, and we can't miss that piece. But from an economic standpoint, you know, we've had an ability to domestically in the US to get rid of trash pretty inexpensively. And, you know, that world's changed dramatically in the last 5+ years. And I think it's just going to continue to evolve and change. Somebody's got to pay to recycle. Somebody's got to pay to dispose of product. And I think that's what we're seeing today.
Yeah, that's a great segue into our next article. By the way, shout out to Catherine. She helps produce our show and she's picked some great ones for us. This next one comes from Waste 360. Can AI tell brands if their sustainable packaging designs are doing what they intended to do? Wow, this is a hot topic. So AI and computer vision technologies like the London-based platform DeepNest are beginning to use trace, quantify, and identify packaging through waste streams. So they're actually going in and determining, hey, brand, you thought this was going to be recycled. This is actually not being. So it's actually providing the, you know, the accountability of, is your packaging getting disposed of how you thought it was? And these are giving brands faster feedback loops as they track material type, color, and really allowing folks to iterate on packaging design faster. So Matt, right, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, I laugh at it. I gotta be careful how I say this, but you know, they're kind of mimicking what's been going on in the medical industry forever, which is studying the downstream effect of what's really happening in the human bodies by the waste stream. And it's the same thing they're doing now. It actually is very intelligent. You know, we have a lot of theoretical things that, you know, we just don't know if they happen by design, by nature. So it's a great concept to study the trash. It's going to tell you what's really happening, what's ending up where, what it looks like, what it feels like. And it's going to help force behavior back up through the value chain.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this is so positive because if you're going to make producers more responsible for packaging, you do have to give them insight into what's happening to it. And, you know, every company we talk to, everyone wants to be sustainable. Everyone wants to do the right thing. And then, you know, Matthew, you and I go to Orange County and we know all of our trash is being taken to the landfill, even if we're putting it in a different recycling bucket. So I think it creates this two-way accountability of, yeah, like let's, you know, if something's not capable of being recycled today, is that because of the downstream limitations or is that because we're not leveraging that material, right?
And yeah, so, human behavior. I mean, that, how, you know, they're being held responsible for human behavior, even when the best optimum scenario is possible. And so, yeah, no, I think it's going to be interesting what we all learn from it.
Yeah, and just because something could be recycled doesn't mean it's always recycled. I'm thinking about our friends at How to Recycle that have done a tremendous job of giving consumers that visibility on the package. Really excited about the integration we've done with them. So you can take your data in SpecRite and pretty much instantaneously generate the right How to Recycle label because it's looking at your specs and telling you, okay, based on your specs, this is the direction to put on the package. So I'm just really excited about this. You know, AI is going to disrupt packaging in huge ways, I think, for the better. And I love how we're thinking about AI, not just in the sense of like, is it going to do your packaging design for you, but how can you leverage AI more to your point on like the manufacturing downstream side where you're sorting packaging and looking at it from a different perspective?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that we don't talk a lot about is the municipalities having a lot of power in this whole conversation. And, you know, there is some technology looking at that. We just mentioned one that will be addressing that. The challenge also is the full cycle, right? And what's going on in the municipalities, the decisions that are made, you know, at that local level, when we're taxing or challenging brands at a national level. And so how do you combine and find the best solution between those two things, which are very disjoint today? So, yeah, I think those type of technologies are really going to be cool to solving these problems.
Yeah. Well, up next, we have a very special guest on the podcast today. So we'll head into our next segment. We have a very special guest today on Beyond Packaging. It is someone who has many titles. One of them is my personal packaging mentor, guru. And most recently, she is the founder and CEO of Paradigm Packaging Partners, which we'll learn more about. She is also one of the preeminent voices in packaging who has worked at pretty sure every large consumer goods company. We're joined by none other than Victoria Chapman Galloway. Victoria, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome. Laura, thank you. Matthew, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here with you guys today. I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited because I missed you at PAC Expo this year.
I know.
And I got a pick. So for those who don't know, I got COVID right before PAC Expo. And I was really sad. And then I got a picture from Victoria wearing a pink blazer. And I'm like, how did I miss this? I was going to be wearing a pink blazer to PAC Expo.
Lamenting to Victoria. I said, it's going to be hard to carry the banner without Laura. And she says, I got you covered. I got the pink blazer. Look at me tomorrow. So Victoria helped. It's hard shoes to fill in for you, Laura, but Victoria certainly stepped up.
And I just got to tell you guys real quick, I was walking through a store running to like get to a meeting, running through this store, and this pink blazer was sitting there. And I stopped and had to buy it. I was like, there's Laura. I got to do it.
Well, you're the best. Well, we're so excited. I mean, first of all, for those who don't know you, tell us a little bit about your career, very storied, and then what you're doing now with Paradigm.
Okay. So I am a degreed package engineer from Michigan State University. Go Green. And I don't want to say the total number of years because it's a lot that I've been out, but I've worked for a lot of major hitters like Kraft, Colgate-Palmolive, Johnson & Johnson, Campbell's Soup, Kind Snacks, and OFI, to name a few. And in those roles, I was responsible for the development of packaging, the qualification of packaging. My teams were responsible for launching innovation. And so, you know, I've done that in all of my careers and, you know, dealing with operations and equipment and supply chain. So those are the roles that I've been in. And it's been very important for me to be process oriented and document everything that we do. So our relationship has been born out of that need. That's so, right. And at Paradigm, I am consulting with startups, small and mid-sized businesses on their needs in all those areas that I've worked in package development, package engineering, operations, supply chain. I also have experience in marketing innovation in some of the projects that I worked on in the past. So those are the areas that I'm working with new customers on.
I mean, Victoria, it makes a ton of sense, right? Because we work with a lot of these challenger brands, and you know what they typically don't have? A packaging person, right?
Right.
Really lean teams. They're often using contract manufacturers. So, right. You know, there's folks in innovation, there's folks in marketing, maybe product development, but there's usually not, you know, room for a full-time packaging person. But correct. In this day and age, packaging is such a differentiator for an emerging brand. So it makes a ton of sense that you would bring this expertise there. I have to ask you, you've worked for so many iconic brands. What is your favorite packaging innovation you worked on?
I gotta say, it was the years ago, the Kraft grated Parmesan cheese from canister to PET container, because that PET container, yet still today, is the iconic brand, and it is the go-to for anybody who wants to put Parmesan cheese in. Well, somebody hearing me is going to think that's a little geeky, but to go in to a grocery store or anywhere and see the package that you and your team worked on, and now everyone is using it, it's important to me. It's very important. So I love that.
Such an iconic product too. I mean, just yeah. And then that be part of the journey of transforming it, you know, keeping it alive and growing, right? So,
well, there's a, you know, the story behind it, to make a long story short, is that private label was coming on, taking share, and cheese is cheese. Yeah. And so we had to figure out how do we get our cheese there. And in just a matter of a few short months, with some consumer focus groups and a lot of work, we were able to launch this product in one or two markets, and it went up by, I think, a 20 to 40, it's a long time ago, a 20 to 40 share.
I think we just got our next podcast name, Cheese is Cheese, the power of packaging. So I like that. Capture it, trademark it before we get off this call.
I love it. You know, Victoria, you talked about being process oriented. I think you don't give yourself enough credit for being data oriented too. And years ago when we met, you were one of the first packaging executives that really understood the power of data. This was before extended producer responsibility was a thing. Yeah. You came to SpecRite and said, I have all my packaging data in these Excel documents and Word documents. I've got to enter all this data into TOPS manually. Could you build an integration? So yeah. I click a button and the data, and we built that. And now we've built that, really kicked off. We now have, gosh, probably over 50 integrations. You've seen the power of data. You've been a pioneer. Why is data so important for packaging professionals in a world where sustainability tracking is important?
Wow, that's a loaded question there, Laura. I mean, data is support, is it's important to give, first of all, for credibility, I believe, because as packaging people, and I think you talked about it earlier, you know, teams and companies will have a marketing person, an engineering person, you know, a salesperson, and they'll think anybody can do the packaging. And so for a credibility and to make sure that people understand, we have to have data to kind of help support where we believe we need to go, why we need to go there, and what needs to happen. And data helps, you know, make that path much easier for us. From a sustainability perspective, when you work for companies that are, particularly my last company that was global, it is so critical that we're able to, and again, at a moment's touch of a button here or a couple button switches or, you know, downloading a report, to be able to communicate when a country says, what have you done? Where are you? What are your differences? You know, where were you in 2024 versus 2025? And if we don't have data, those discussions and responses go from being a day to 6 weeks, 8 weeks, where they're calling you back saying, I thought you said you had this. When are you going to get this to me? So data is just, it's absolutely critical in everything that we do.
You know, one of the things you and I have joked about, I talk to a lot of CIOs and chief sustainability officers, talk to legal counsel now, which if you had told me 10 years ago, I would be talking to legal counsels, I would have said, why? But it seems that you've really established yourself as like the C-suite whisperer on this topic of packaging sustainability. Mm-hmm. Why do you think there's been a gap historically at the executive level of these leaders not knowing that they don't really own their packaging information? It seems to people really don't understand that there's this disconnect from 10,000 feet to the people doing the day-to-day work.
I'm just going to go back to what I said. I think it's always been an air of anybody can do that. That's easy stuff. That's really not important until it gets to be important, until it's a problem. And then they're like, when can you get it? When can you get it? How quickly can you get it? You know, do you have it right now? What SpecRite did for me, and I think I shared an example, wasn't specifically on sustainability, but it was just the ability to have data at my fingertips. Our chief operating officer said, Victoria, I need to know this information. How many of this particular material do we run and where do we run it? I was able to do a report sitting in a meeting with him and get him that information. So it's I think to answer your question, it's improving, but we've got a long way to go. That's because there's always been this attitude and this mentality that packaging stuff's over there. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. And now we're there. I'm sorry, Matthew.
No, as I said, I don't think the packaging people have changed. I don't think the issues have changed. It's just gotten a higher level of visibility, which is allowing, I think, what we've all been yelling at for years is we need a bigger seat at the table. We need more tools to help us do our jobs. Absolutely. But so I've just, as everybody knows, amazing people making amazing products like Victoria and those stories that we just shared about the cheese is the cheese. But I think today, hopefully, it's getting enough noise that packaging professionals are going to get the tools they need.
I believe so.
So that's a great segue into my next question, Victoria. Artificial intelligence, I mean, it seems to be everywhere. And I know you and I are early adopters of technology. And I'm amazed by how fast it's moving. Like, I look at 6 months ago where some of the tools I was using are in today, and they're completely different. How do you think AI is going to disrupt packaging?
Oh, I think it's going to be a very positive disruption. I think we've got to spend a little bit of time really understanding it, because to your point, you know, what you thought you could do 6 months ago and then now what you can do today, it's amazing. It's just amazing what the difference is. But what needs to happen is companies need to carve out maybe a technology packaging team, that's their focus, and they can help onboard it for the others. Because if you leave it up to, well, everybody just figure it out, just figure out what you need to do, I don't think it's ever going to really help us the way it really can. And it can be powerful.
You know what I really want to pull on there? That the term packaging technology, historically, when people talked about packaging technology, they thought about equipment, machines. Now packaging technology is data, machines, materials, artificial intelligence. And so I love that idea of broadening. When we talk about packaging technology, we have to broaden the aperture.
And
I love your point. Someone's got to be leading the strategy, because if you're just doing all these different tactics, but they're not leveling up to a goal. Or what is it that your company's trying to advance? That's where that disconnect comes in between your executives and what you're trying to do. So I love that.
I know Victoria and I are both very involved in academia, and not to give any details of the last board meeting, but I think we both share that there's an awareness that packaging technology has always meant materials and equipment, but there's a whole new generation that we have to enable and teach how to use technology in a different way. So any thoughts on that, Victoria? I know it was a long discussion not that long ago.
No, totally agree with you. And again, I go back to what I just said is, it's changing so quickly, and there's so much power in it, that you need a point person or point team that fully understands and can kind of flow it through the process, but also can level it up from a strategy perspective to senior leaders. And they understand the importance, and not just the importance, the business impact on the bottom line that this has. And I think that's some of what I got out of our conversations at our last meeting.
That's great. And Victoria, I wasn't kidding when I said that you've been a huge mentor to me and so many others in the industry. What advice would you have for the people graduating, coming out of undergrad? You've had such a storied career. If you were to tell them, three things, what would it be?
First of all, I would say listen a lot more than we speak. There is such a wealth of knowledge out there in the packaging world, and podcasts, your team. There's so much you could just absorb, be a sponge. Yes, you're smart. You just graduated. That's wonderful. Now be a sponge for a while. So that would be the first thing. The second thing is to really embrace the technologies that are out there, the ability to maintain your data in one specific spot with SpecWrite, to understand AI, and to then maybe bring AI. I think about it, if I was still in the role that I was in, if someone came in and they were able to give me half hour lessons on here's what you do, here's what you can get from it, that would be awesome. So in addition to listening, bringing in that expertise that all of us that have been working for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, haven't had a chance or haven't had time to learn. And the third thing that I would do is just be open to everything. Just be open to everything, and try as much as you possibly can.
Oh, I love that. Well, it's been such a pleasure working with you over the years. We're so excited for you in this next chapter. We're so grateful for all your contributions to the packaging community and the packaging technology community. Matthew, anything else you want to leave us with before we part ways?
No, I mean, it's exciting. And I really do appreciate you too, Victoria, and always love thought leadership. And so, yeah, I'm assuming you're going to make it well known how you get a hold of you and get to do business with you. So if anything you want to share in that regard?
I am, find me on LinkedIn. And I have a website of paradigmpackagingpartners.com, and you can reach out to me there. But I'm always open. This is a field that I love. I have a great deal of passion for. I've even turned my family into packaging geeks, as they say. We spend way too much time in CPG stores, and it's just something that I love. So I'd love to continue doing it.
Awesome. Thanks, Victoria. Now we will go off the shelf with our friend Matt Dingy.
Bye.
Thanks, Victoria.
Okay. Thanks.
We're back with Matt Dingy going off the shelf. Matt, welcome back to the show. What do you have for us today?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great.
So today, the package I'd like to show you is something more of a branding and a celebrity endorsement. It is Richard Simmons salad spray, French style. And it's in our category, come and gone, meaning it's no longer obviously here. But I think with the students, we've been talking a lot about celebrity endorsement, how that comes out in packaging. So this is today's package.
Wait, that was way before its time.
Richard Simmons, put it back up, Matt. Richard Simmons is, wow.
And I think he just passed away this year, right?
Earlier. Salad spray. Matt, I remember using, I don't know if I used the Richard Simmons one, but I've definitely used salad spray.
Yeah, I don't think I ever used Richard Simmons. I don't think I remember it. And quite frankly, to your point, Matt, way before his time, you know, celebrity endorsements today are a dime a dozen, if you will, and everything from apparel to anything you can think of. But salad spray, you know, and then I like the, I'll be one of those, I don't use it a lot because you can't find a lot, but I like the spray salad dressing because otherwise you just douse, you know, you're trying to get the right amount. So it's a cool, interesting product and an early celebrity endorsement. Kind of interesting package. And packaging, arguably, say the label gets lost with the bottle. Maybe that's why I didn't see it.
I'll just say, though, this is another great example of where the packaging becomes the product, right? Oh. Like salad dressing, to your point, Matthew, typically delivered in a liquid form. I'm the kind of person, I love a lot of salad dressing, not for everybody. But for the people, there was kind of this low-calorie trend where people didn't want to have a lot of dressing, right? I think that's that might have been the consumer insight of it's really hard to pour just enough. If you can spray, you can kind of control it, and there's less overall. And boom, you know, I wonder if the formula changed or if it truly was just, you know, the delivery mechanism, which made it essentially a new SKU or a new product. And Matt, I love what you talked about with celebrity endorsements. You know, we still see that in the industry. I think it's Hailey Bieber's cosmetic company was just sold for $1 billion, right? So the celebrity endorsement train, I think, is back on. It did feel like it slowed down a little bit maybe in the early 2000s in the consumer segment, but definitely feels like it's more prominent with social media now.
Yeah, did it, what was that, a certain flavor? I didn't catch it, Matt. Was that, or that?
It was, it's just French style.
Okay.
So I'm not sure.
I also like the salad dressing trends. We won't spend a lot of time on overtime. Some of the good old iconic ones are gone or you can't find them much. So I was just curious if that was one of these, the 70s or 80s varietals, but no, it's kind of a mainstay. But very cool package. I love it. A little caught me off guard. I don't recall seeing that one at any point.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. Thank
you. Take care.